Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Research tells me that the first step in flipping a coin is to get something called a coin. What is the best coin for me to flip?
What is fire?
Could climbing a tree actually hurt it?
So I had my shoelace. Then I was thinking, so what else do I need to know? Knots.
All right, so how do I dig a hole? How do I tie my shoelaces? How do I open a door? Yes, you can build a TV show around the questions you thought you knew the answers to when you were, I don't know, 4 years old. And David Reese has done it. You may know he's the cartoonist behind the much-beloved Get Your War On, a former artisanal pencil sharpener as well, we'll explain, and now the host of the National Geographic show Going Deep, which explores in super depth some very simple tasks. Along the way, it's a chance to ask about physics, biology, molecular structures, and it led one reviewer to say that Reese, quote, may be the most able and brilliant science educator since Carl Sagan. Whoa. And today, live on this show, David Reese is going to teach me and you how to fold the perfect paper airplane. Going Deep airs Mondays at 10 p.m. on National Geographic, by the way. There are, I think, three shows left in this 10-part series. So, David Reese, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
And, yes, listeners, we've got our sheets of paper here, and David is going to walk us through how to fold this plane. You can follow along at home. You can fold along at home, which will be a good test of his ability to explain things clearly since you won't be able to see him. But then at the end of the segment, we'll ask you to send us a picture of your plane so we can see how it went. I'll tweet out a picture of mine too. And while people are getting a sheet of paper, I want to talk about the overall goal of the show. I mean, a show like Cosmos tries to explain the most complicated things in the world. Why focus on the super simple?
I think the spirit of this show was one that kind of based on the spirit of my book, How to Sharpen Pencils, and my pencil sharpening business, which is to take something really mundane that people use every day without really thinking about it and try to celebrate how interesting all these things are that we take for granted. You know, whether you think of the science or the history or the aesthetics or just the satisfaction of a well-sharpened pencil or a perfectly opened door.
But although I should say that the pencil that it takes me 15 seconds to sharpen took you about 15 minutes, right?
That's true, because I don't rely on the crutch of electric pencil sharpeners.
Uh-huh.
I have a more authentic relationship to pencils. And so we kind of wanted to build out that spirit and just examine anything where you think there's nothing to learn about, that's what we want to investigate.
Has there been one particular task that you ended up realizing was, in fact, way more complicated than you ever suspected?
Just about everything is more complicated than you suspect, I think, especially when you're trying to literally come up with the best way to do certain things. You know what I mean? We spent a lot of time talking about the proper way to match people's flow when entering and exiting a revolving door, which always gave me a lot of anxiety. We talked a lot about the social etiquette and the cultural context of the properly administered handshake, which is terrifying for me because I'm bad at eye contact, as you can probably tell right now as I stare out the window. And shoelaces obviously are a bottomless pit of obsession because knots themselves are just incredible.
Listeners, David Reese is here. If you want to talk to him, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. As a tangent, do you want to match the flow of the people going through the revolving door? Sometimes I think, oh, well, I'm going to give these people a little extra help. I'm going to push with some extra force, rotate it a little bit quicker than it's going, and help people get through.
How does that help them get through?
If I see somebody kind of struggle. We have a heavy revolving door around here.
Oh, I see. So you're providing extra torsional force to give them an assist.
Correct.
As you're passing through the door.
Sometimes.
But what happens then when you've exited the door and they're left? You see, you gave a man a fish instead of teaching a man to fish. Because once you've left the door, then all of a sudden there will be a deceleration.
True.
Which could send them flying into the pane
if they're not
the door
through already, and then if they're not expecting it, just to reinforce your point, then somebody may be thrown against the back of the glass.
What you should do, Brian, is every time before you exit a revolving door, just issue a brief screamed announcement that you're leaving the door, and that will put everyone at ease.
Okay. I will do that from now on for the rest of my life. All right. Well, let's do the paper airplane.
Let's do this. Okay. I have a photogenic piece of red paper here that you can use.
Okay.
So everybody's had a chance to gather their 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. I want to say that this is not my paper airplane design. This was designed by John Collins, the man who spent a couple years obsessed with breaking the Guinness Book World Record for paper airplane design. He designed this plane, named it after his wife, Suzanne, and then hired a football quarterback to throw the plane and set the world record. So that's the historical context for what we're about to do. All right?
I feel informed.
Here we go.
Grounded in the weight of human history.
Then I've done my job. Okay. Everybody, orient the paper in portrait mode rather than landscape mode, if you know what I'm talking about. Take the upper right-hand corner of the...
So it's vertical, basically.
Yeah. That's one way to say it. Yeah. Orient the paper vertically. Take the upper right-hand corner of the paper and draw it down at a 45-degree angle so it's lined up along the left side of the sheet of paper.
So all the way until...
All the way
down.
You've
got alignment with the left sheet of paper.
Exactly. So what was the top of the page is now... lined up along the left side of the page.
Okay.
And after...
Did I do it right so far?
Oh, beautiful. Well, you know, I hate to criticize a public radio host.
Uh-oh.
But it's not lined up. You really want to get those corners...
I see.
You really want to get those corners
perfect
lined
alignment.
Up.
Right. Okay.
We're going to skip the proper use of a bone folder, and we're going to freehand this. We're not going to seal our folds correctly using an origami bone folder today. We're just feeling a little too wacky. Okay.
Okay.
So once you've made that fold...
Got it.
Flatten it out. Open it back up, and now make the opposite fold. Draw the upper left-hand corner of the page down.
Upper left-hand corner of the page.
Yep. Oh, you're just doing the mirror image of the same fold.
Right. Till 45-degree angle till that
exactly.
edge is against the right-hand edge of the paper.
And now when you open up your paper again, you should see just a huge X shape of the two creases that you've made with fold one and fold two.
Okay. This is easier than IKEA so far.
Right. Now it's going to reach IKEA levels of complexity. Okay. Now, the great thing about this design is that each fold actually indicates where the following fold should go. So if you've started correctly, now there is no excuse to veer off path. Okay. This is one of the ingenuities that John Collin introduced to this Suzanne design. So fold number three, we're again going to take the upper right-hand corner of the page, but this time fold it down only so far that now it lines up with the crease from our first fold, from fold number one.
Like that?
No, I'm sorry. So take the upper right-hand corner and fold it down so that the right-hand side of the page lines up with the crease made by the first fold.
So that the right-hand... Oh, boy. Now I'm embarrassed. Now it's getting confusing. So that the right-hand side of the page...
Sure. Think of it this way. Take the right-hand side of the page
right.
and fold it over such that the edge of the page lines up with the crease from your first fold, that 45-degree crease. This is a shallower fold than your initial fold.
To kind of halfway... Like that.
Like this.
Okay. I see.
Got it. See what I've done there?
Okay, done.
Okay. Open your page back up, and now again, do the same thing on the opposite side. Take the left-hand side of the paper and fold it over so that it lines up with the crease made from fold number two, the second of your 45-degree folds.
Okay.
Right? Now when you open your page up, you should see basically the bottom four points of a five-pointed star. That's how you know you've done it correctly, right? What would be the top point of the star is off the page. So you've made folds three and four. Take them now and fold them both down. Put those folds in place.
Okay.
And you should have a shape that looks kind of like this, like Superman's cape, right?
Okay. I'll have to go a little further than I did before. So... like that, and like that. This is not working so well for me, actually, because I didn't get that second set of folds just right. But okay, this is approximately it.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is a major, major move. Do you see where folds three and four intersect on the top of the page, right? They make a point about halfway down the page, right?
I see that point.
Put your finger on that point. And now fold the top of the plane over down along that point. Use that point as the axis of the fold.
The top of the plane?
Yep.
Show me.
I'll show you. You see where the two You see where folds 3 and 4 meet?
Yep.
That's the – pretend that that's a line, and you want to fold the nose of the plane down along that line.
Okay.
You're basically – what we are doing right now is radically shortening the fuselage of our plane.
Got it.
Okay?
Yep.
And you'll know you've done it correctly because once you've turned the top – the tip of the plane down, you'll see that the creases on the outer side of the plane's nose now should line up with the actual edges of folds 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is what's beautiful about this design. It's always giving you guidelines for what to do next and to let you know if you've done it correctly. Okay, now comes my favorite fold. We're going to take the top two corners of the plane, all right, and we're going to bring them down so they meet in the middle. And for the first time, we see the point, the nose of our plane. Now it's going to actually start looking like a paper airplane.
Okay, I think I am statistically an outlier at being bad at this, so you're going to have to show me this too. Hopefully people are getting it at home at a much faster rate. My sources tell me that people in the control room are getting it at a much faster rate. So show me that latest fold.
Take the top two edges of the plane.
Right, got that.
And fold them down so they meet in the middle.
Right.
And now the shape of your plane should be just a little red barn.
And so it is.
You made a little red barn?
Little red barn. Little red A-frame.
Okay, little red airframe. There we go.
A-frame, yeah.
Okay. Now, take the flap that's lying beneath your new airplane nose and bring that up as far as it will go to lock those two folds in place. So you have a tongue here, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Bring that up.
Right.
So it covers the bottom flaps of your last two folds.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, you're bringing up that little tongue that's
yep. We haven't
in the middle of the A.
We have not adjusted the overall shape of the plane. Right now we're just doing some interior structural engineering.
Correct.
Okay. Now we are finally going to do what most people think of as the first fold in a properly folded paper airplane. We are going to fold the plane in half along its body. This is the first step in creating our wings. So we're just going to do this. Just fold it in half along the length of its fuselage.
Like that?
Actually, fold it the other way.
Okay, so fold it out.
Fold it out, exactly.
Not in
make what we would call a mountain fold in origami rather than a valley fold. There are only two directions of folds. A mountain fold, you're folding away from you, creating a peak, and a valley fold, you're folding towards you, creating an absence.
I see why this is going to work. It's because the weight is near the front.
Here we go. Here we go. Okay. Two more folds, and then we're done.
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is the tricky fold that people really get confused by, because we are going to make our wings now, but we are not going to make them in the standard shape that we remember from childhood.
If we're only getting to the tricky fold now, I am in big trouble. But go ahead.
All right. Here we go. So you start at the nose of your plane, right? And you want to fold the wing down so that the edge of the wing runs right along the base of your plane, right along the bottom of your fuselage. So the wing is actually going to slope. The wing is going to be at an angle relative to the flat bottom of your plane, like this.
Right.
See how it lines up?
At an angle relative. I see. So it's right. You're going to have a flat bottom of the wing along the bottom of the fuselage.
Exactly.
Right?
We would call the leading edge of the wing is going to go no farther than the bottom of the fuselage.
And do that with both wings.
And do that with both wings, exactly.
So that it lines up nice and straight.
Symmetry is key to paper airplanes. If you're making a paper airplane with a piece of paper that you've torn out of a three-ring binder, it's doomed.
And it helps, I imagine, that this paper has some weight to it, right? This is not like a piece of loose leaf paper from a notebook that's so light and flimsy.
Right. John Collins actually buys slightly heavier stock A4 size paper and then cuts each piece by a couple millimeters for optimum design. But I figured folding paper on radio would be exciting enough that we didn't also need to have sounds of cutting paper.
You should hear our photography segments.
Okay.
But this looks like it's going to fly. And
now,
by the way, listeners, I'll just say that we are recording this and we are going to post full, clear, visual instructions on our site for those of you who may have been, and it would be hard to imagine, but some of you may have been more confused than me. So go ahead.
So the final step now is look at your wings. You want to make sure that your wings have what's called a dihedral angle. You want your wings to be angled up, coming up at an angle from each side of the plane.
And we just folded them down, didn't we?
We folded them down to make them, and now we're going to adjust them by creating a dihedral angle. If you look at the
what does that do? The fact that they fold it up.
It's stability. If you look at a jet airliner, you'll notice that the wings have a slight dihedral angle. Uh-huh. They kind of go they angle up away from the body of the plane, and we want to do the same thing.
So that the air is beneath the wings.
So that
to quote a song.
So you have more stability.
All right. Is it time to fly?
It is. We need a bigger studio.
Well, I've got a little room
here he
there.
Goes. I'm moving out of the way.
Very powerful. Actually, no. It knocked
that was
out
so powerful it was that about... I backed out of the way in a panic and knocked over your camera. Sorry
but
about
the,
that.
But the airplane flew.
The airplane flew.
And it flew straight, and the nose went right into the wall that I'm sitting across from.
You did a great job. Can I try throwing mine?
Go ahead. All this right. is going to be so much better than mine.
Can you open that? Is it possible to open that door and we'll see if I can throw it out the door?
People are tweeting us crumpled up sheets of paper. There are a few frustrated listeners out there. Nice.
See that?
Nice arc. It also looked like a good landing. I think nobody got killed.
Nobody got killed, and I didn't knock over any camera equipment this time.
So there we go. And guess what? This took us the perfect amount of time because we have about 45 seconds left in the show. So what's the moral of this story?
The moral of the story is that anything can be complicated, anxiety-provoking, and therefore delightful. It's just a matter of how much research you do into it, how much enthusiasm you bring to it, and the perspective that you approach it from.
I will attest to the anxiety-producing part and some of the delight when I finally got my paper airplane to fly.
Awesome.
And tell people, again, when they can see the final episodes of Going Deep with you on National Geographic.
So tonight at 10 o'clock, we have How to Light a Match. Next week at 10, we have How to Climb a Tree. And the following Monday at 10, we have How to Shake Hands.
A shout out to listener Aaron, who just tweeted us a picture of a perfectly folded paper airplane per David Reese's instructions. This has been so much fun. Come back another time and teach us to do something else, okay?
I would love that. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC will... post the instructions, visual instructions, and some of this video from the part where the tripod was not knocked down later in the day at WNYC.org.